Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We are gathered here to hear the Word of God, to have an experience with God, but the singing just goes with it. We open our hearts and worship. We thank the Lord in choruses, in songs, and in prayers for that what He has done on us. I also, from my side, would like to welcome all of you very warmly in the precious name of the Lord, and wish myself and all of us a time of relaxing, of refreshing, and of blessing. With relaxing, I mean that everything what causes in our lives tensions, that we leave them behind. And also not permit that by some kind of things tension comes up. You all know the word from politics, police of detente. One wants there where there is danger, where something is not right, there they want to find out things so that everything is well again. Let us be careful that we, each one of us, in these days, contribute that no tension comes up, and where it was brought with, there it shall be laid under the cross and be left there, so that we really relax in the presence of God, relieving the pressure. I should be the most nervous of all, but not if one has trust in God. If we would trust in us, then it would be bad. But he who trusts in the Lord and who believes in Him can and will not be put to shame. It may go through trials, but we cannot be put to shame. Sometimes it looks like it, but the end will prove it, that no one has been put to shame who trusts the Lord. By the way, this is written in the Bible. And because it is written in the Bible, therefore it is true, and therefore we believe it. And because we believe it, we may also experience it. We would like, in these days, have Bible hours of special kind. We would like to go through a cross-section of the plan of salvation, deepening ourselves in the Word of God, so that everyone can take as much as possible home. You have, what concerns preachings, you have so much material, be it the translated sermons of Brother Branham or the preachings which were held here on such a large scale, that it should actually last until the beginning of the millennial reign. And nevertheless, God still adds to it. However, it will not only depend on the preaching, but on each one, with what kind of attitude he hears God's word. I don't know whether my beloved brother Sink is here. Oh yes, he's here. May I say what you told me on the last Sunday? Yes, let me say it with my own words. At first, the preaching had almost nothing to say. And then he heard it again. And then it had already much to say. And then a brother phoned and asked, "Did you hear the sermon again? It was so mighty." And then for the third time, I say it now with my words, then the penny dropped and the joy was great. Sometimes we are not in the right attitude, perhaps distracted, but it's the same with all of us, each one of us. And therefore, it is necessary to become quiet on the inside in the presence of God. For the Lord makes still every storm, no matter where it might be. He is with us, and at His word, the winds and waves have to obey even today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord also said at the time, "See how you hear." It depends on how we hear God's word. How many have heard our Lord at that time? But how did they hear Him? Some with an open heart, and the others with criticism and whatever else was there. I don't believe that somebody would make himself the effort to come to just find something to criticize. I believe that we all have come with one desire in our heart: to hear God's pure, holy word. That what we hear, to experience it, that we become a part of the word and experience a part of the plan of salvation, and that we are led deeper into the mysteries of God. I believe we have come with this desire. I have to extend greetings from many who phoned or who personally asked for it. Brother Werner Sieg asked me last Sunday in Zurich to greet all of you. Other brethren joined him. Brother Forestieri phoned me today to greet all of you. And one could close the circle. Many wish us in these days God's blessing. Although they cannot be here, yet they are joined with us in the Spirit. We hope, and this is a earthy remark, that we also, what concerns the outside, the accommodations and so forth, that we can fit in well also in these mess quarters. If somebody doesn't like it so much, don't complain, to not discourage also others. In a certain sense and in a good will, you can only meet every wish to a certain extent. We try it with the possibilities which we have, as good as we can. Whether we always succeed to make it well with everyone, we don't know. At least we try, but you also must help. Maybe also this remark. It is in particular about children. It is among believing parents that they watch over their children. And should it be once not the case, then other parents watch also over children which are not theirs, so that everything can run smoothly and nobody has to let something come up in his heart. I would like to welcome all of you, our brothers and sisters from France, from Belgium, from Switzerland, from Austria, from Czechoslovakia, from Poland, from Finland, from Haiti, and I almost said Honolulu. Wherever you are from Africa, from wherever you are from, the Lord God, may He bless you and all of us from the riches of His grace. I see here a brother from Burundi, and many are here. If all could be here who would like to be here, then the place on which the cars are standing would not suffice. God has done great things on many. A very special privilege it is to me to welcome one of my friends and of my brothers from the German Democratic Republic here at this place. You all know we avoid on purpose names, but nevertheless you can stand up. God bless you in our midst. The brother next to him is already a well-known guest to us. God bless you. So we have two young brothers here from the German Democratic Republic. And whoever files an application in this age there, he is rejected. Especially that our brother who was not here yet can be here today is most certainly a miracle of God. We wish you and all of us God's blessing with all our hearts. The same we wish to the government there and to all. We belong to them who believe God's word in its fullness and respect it. Also that part where it is written, all governing authority is of God. Whether we like it or not, that's how it is written. And therefore we have to like it. And we wish all God's blessing with all our hearts. What more could we wish than that all who were put to shame by Christianity, that they would once get the true Christ preached and experience Him. On the development many helped who are no more here today. But we don't want to mix into politics, for this is just as a hot potato as religion. These two things one should actually leave aside. And therefore we, at this place, neither deal with politics nor with religion. Yes, now you are astonished. You are astonished. Yes, it is a big difference between religion and religious business and so forth. And even between the term believing. Recently, the world man said in Assisi that all believers were present, no matter which faith they belong to. Whether they believe in Buddha or Confucius, they were all believers. They all prayed and so forth. So, there are blurred terms. Let it be complained to God. A believer is he, in the eyes of God, who believes God and God's word with all his heart. For this, we are grateful that there are still such people on earth. And we are not judging anyone. Just the contrary. If we feel something, then at the most, a deep pain in our heart. And connected with it is the inner desire that the faithful God, who knows every heart, who knows all circumstances, that He would give to mankind, before the door closes, an offer of grace. And if we understand the Holy Scripture correctly, He will also give it. For the gospel of the kingdom must be preached unto all nations for a witness. The Lord said then, "Ye are my witnesses." And this testimony, the living testimony of the living God, who revealed Himself in Christ, shall be once more preached by His living church. God has ordained us for life, for eternal life. So, feel well in the Lord and be open for every word that we will read in these days. Many scriptures will be read, and then we will see how the Spirit of God will continue to work. Firstly, we start with scriptures which contain an apparent contradiction. And I do this with a purpose, in order to help us, for we have to cope with the arguments of the others. And only then, if we know our way around in the Bible, then we can meet them with the Word of God. Before we now go into the Word, let us once again stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank You for this day. Bless and sanctify it for the praise and glory of Your name. Sanctify the lips which You want to use to speak. Sanctify hearts and ears of them who hear. Give grace to both, to speak and to hear. May the words that will be spoken be the words of God. We pray for all who are not yet saved, for all who are in doubt. May You pull them out of the fire. May You save, deliver, heal. Show us, O Lord, that we are gathered in Your presence, in Your name, at this place, to have a new experience with You. May nobody be excluded from Your blessing. Take care of all of us. We bless Your people in Your name. And we remember Israel, Your people, in a special way. Bless all who confess You and who are ordained to be here to glorify Your name. Be now with us. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon the whole meeting. Lord, as written in the book of Zechariah, command Satan that he departs as the accuser of the brethren, that he leaves every heart and this building. Consecrate us to You, O God, that we in an holy atmosphere can be gathered in your presence. We believe that you are the victor of Calvary, and that Satan has lost his right, that he was defeated, and that we can go out freely. Faithful God, let the joy of salvation come up in all of us. Thankfulness for the redemption. To you, the Almighty God, we commit this service. Bless it by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like at first read the word from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51, and there it is verse 4. Isaiah 51, verse 4. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. For a start, this verse. We do not come here to hearken unto a man. We come here to hear from God, to hear God's unfalsified, pure word, and to let this word speak to us. But we must be ready to hear. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For teaching shall proceed from me, and I will make my justice to rest for a light of the people. Not your justice, not our justice, the justice of God. If somewhere justice shall be administered, then both sides want to be in the right. Here, God shall administer justice. God shall have the last word. He spoke justice already. We just need to hear what he has to say to us. And this justice, the divine justice, shall, that's how it is written here, shall serve for a light of the people. We will still speak about light and illumination. Especially in the prophet Isaiah, it's about the plan of salvation, which he announced so extensively by the Spirit. But we'll still speak about this in the course of these days. Now, we go to a word in Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11, from verse 33. Luke 11, from verse 33. No man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light. A wonderful word, and in itself maybe a strange word, but necessary for all of us, and we will transfer the comparison from the body that we have in the natural and see to the body of the Lord. Namely, that all members of the body of Jesus Christ must be struck by the light of God, that in all must be the same divine life, so that we come into lockstep in the Spirit to be able to walk forward. A light is not kindled to again darken the room, to put it under the table, but upon the lampstand. This is very natural. When is a light lit? When it gets dark, for then it is needed. And the prophet said in the Old Testament, there shall be light at evening time. The other prophet said, those who sat in darkness, they have seen a bright light. John testifies that he came to bear witness of the light. It is about light, about enlightenment, for us, for the nations, for all who are ordained to see the glory of God. Here is even a serious admonition in this text. We must take heed that the light that we received already, that it is not darkness. It is possible that people, by the revelation of the Spirit, see the things which God has shown in a clear way, and suddenly somebody comes, he blurs the thing. The clarity gets lost. The radiance is no more here. The light doesn't shine anymore as it flashed someday. This may not be. The light should keep getting brighter, to speak with Proverbs chapter 4, until the daylight breaks. The same also Peter wrote, but here in particular, it is about verse 36. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light. Every member of the body, the whole body, shall be penetrated by the divine light. And this in a way as if a spotlight would shine at us. And we would be suddenly in the spotlight, and we would be seen and watched, and could then find out that also in this light, in this divine light, that we can stand our ground in it and this in a way as we are. And to this, may God give me and all of us the grace that we, after spirit, soul and body, can stand our ground before God in His light, so that He can walk forward with us. As earthy, the body is in the light if the eye is functioning and the hand sees where it reaches, the foot where it steps, everything is functioning. It is in order. Thus it is transferred with the body of the Lord. And the eye in the body of the Lord is according to the prophet Isaiah, the prophet, the seer, the one whom God has ordained to see by divine revelation what no scribe can ever see. The prophets were called seers because God could show them something. And these prophets are seers. If Brother Branham would only have been a prophet after the manner of men, then he would have seen what all the others have also seen, and nothing more. But he was a prophet after the biblical pattern, a prophet who lived up to every claim that the Bible places on a true prophet. If this is right, then say Amen. This is important. Everybody can say he is a prophet. Also to give himself a title of being a prophet. But nobody is legitimized before God with this. We say it at this place very plain and clear that the body of the Lord is the church of the living God. And into this church God has set the various ministries. And to the various ministries belongs also the prophetic ministry. We are grateful to God that He, at the end of time, because it is a prophetic time, right, the prophetic ministry He has put in such a way into the foreground. If we look into the denominations, then the evangelistic ministry is the number one. The evangelist comes with great enthusiasm and things around him. Somebody told me recently, Brother Frank, you should have been present. There a 1,000 voice choir has sung when the evangelist so and so preached. Alright, 1,000 voice choir is not bad. But I still prefer the heavenly choir that tuned in the region of Bethlehem. For it is written, then with the angel was the multitude of the heavenly host who were praising God. And when did it happen? When somebody was doing something? No, when God made history. When the Holy Scripture was being fulfilled and Bible prophecy became reality. We are grateful to God that He has opened our eyes so that we can see and yet remain in balance without deviating to the left and right and by own interpretations darken again the original revelation which has become our light. And there are enough of them all over the earth, who are not satisfied with that what God has said. They must interpret and do not notice that the original light which God has given by revelation of His Word is again darkened, and very soon the people don't see anymore where they walk. They still speak of the light, but the light is no more there. Let us take heed and ask God for grace that the light given to us is not darkened, but that it becomes brighter and brighter and shines clearer. What is the light? The original word of prophecy that shines in a dark place as a light in a dark place. Not the interpretation, but the revelation of the word of prophecy is the light. How often did we say it here, and probably somewhere else also? Revelation cannot be taught. No one can give it to the other. It must be given to us by God. But it is written, they all shall be taught by God, and not one needs to teach the other. I wished that also this statement would become true amongst us in these days, that not one brother takes the other brother and then starts to speak into him to give him clarity, but that everyone lets everyone go with God and has confidence that we are all taught by God, by the same word and through the same Spirit. This really exists, that there are educationists in the kingdom of God who like to give private lessons. This is not necessary. God gives us clarity under the preaching of His Word. And whoever has received this clarity, to him it is so precious, so holy, so valuable. He has a hard time to speak about it. A precious experience with our God. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. A well-known word to all of us. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. We see that here two certain events are in a connection. The first two verses refer to the first coming of Christ, verse 3 on the second coming. But we will come to that in detail. We want in these days to speak about the various comings of the Lord, and by God's help to place the things and read and pray until we all, ourselves, are placed by God in the right way, and so that then we can place everything correctly and see it in the light as it was intended to us by God. John 3, verse 21. John 3, verse 21. Here the following is written. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Not he who hears the truth, but who does the truth. James writes, do not be hearers only, but doers of the word, that we could belong to them who are inwardly ready to do the word, the truth, to live it by the practice, to prove that we were not just forgetful hearers, having had looked in a meeting into the mirror of the word, and then walked away, and then having forgotten how we looked like, but that we are people who in the presence of God look into the mirror of the word, and then go and take a bath in the word, to be cleansed and sanctified under the sound of the word of God, so that the truth is not only written in the book, here in the Bible, but that all of us could become written letters, which the Spirit of God would write, people on whom the Bible could be read. You know, on our Lord, all the scriptures could be read from his birth until his ascension, for everything was written and is still written today. One could read on him that he was born in Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah has said in chapter 5. One could watch how he ascended to heaven, as David says it in the Psalms, God ascended with a shout. And Paul writes it in the letter to Timothy, that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached in the world, received up into glory. Every word that referred to our Lord could be read on him. All his ministry, his suffering, his dying, everything was fulfillment of scripture. One could not only read it in the prophet Isaiah or in Psalms 22 or other scriptures. He who followed him from gathering to gathering, and who walked his way with him even to the cross, he could find out that he was an open letter. Everything what was written was literally found in him. Even they have pierced my hands and feet. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Everything was written beforehand, but now he was here in whom the writings became reality. And the same word that referred to him was fulfilled in him and through him. We, as privileged people in these last days, we have to bear in mind that God has set a high goal for the church. And this high goal is therein that right at the end, the promises that were given and intended for us that one can read and see them on us individually and on us as the church, as being fulfilled and having become a divine reality. And if we believe this with all our heart, then it will also take place. Who waits for it? Who counts with it? I cannot do otherwise but to take God at His word and having confidence in Him that He will finish the work that He started. Here we may again look at ourselves, at our failures on all kinds of things, and then make a great lament. And the Lord God then looks down from heaven and says to us, "My people did not understand it." We must understand that in Christ God made a new man. You know the word from Ephesians, from Colossians, from Philippians. The three letters deal with it so clearly. We will come to that in the course of the next few days. God has taken away the middle wall of partition. He has torn in pieces the letter of requirements to unite us in Christ, in His body of flesh, with Himself, and to make a new man, namely a peacemaker, out of us. And if Calvary is true, then also this had to become true what was depending on it, namely the debt for what we were waiting for really took place, that it has become divine reality. In case it didn't become like this yet, how many believe that this is God's aim? That it will become like it. It has to become like this. It would not be worthy of God if it would not happen, that we, right at the end, as perfect sons and daughters of God, are manifest. Yes, the whole creation is longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. And as certain as the Lord has planned it, so certain He carries it out. John chapter 18, a well-known word to all of us. Here it is written of our Lord, John chapter 18, verse 27. John 18, pardon me, 37, sometimes the glasses don't help. Here it is written, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Peter said at that time, Where shall we go? Only you have words of eternal life. Jesus said, To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He is the truth. He is the life. He is all in all. And that what He is, of this He bore witness. we can expand that a little further. He was God, and he bore witness of God. He was the life, and he bore witness of the life, for in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the truth, and bore witness of the truth. Everything that he was himself, he could testify to. Everything what we will become, what we will become by grace, we can credibly testify to it. What we have not yet become by his grace, we can testify to it with words, without that God stands with a deed behind it. Here with Jesus, everything was guaranteed. He spoke of the Father and said, "He who sent me is with me, because I do what pleases him." And when the thing became a bit closer, then he said, "Not I do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works." What was it? It was God in Christ, the Father manifested in the Son, who could say, "He who sees me sees the Father." Who remembers the mighty sermon of Brother Branham when he said, "Everything what was in God was poured into Christ, and everything what was in Christ was poured into the church." That all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ, this we can read in Colossians. For there it is written, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Why don't we read the next verse? For us of great significance. If we in these days count with it that God confirms his word and wants to use us for it, then we must know what God promised in his word, to know with which we can count, so that our faith is anchored in his word. We must first of all know what was promised or what is written. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, and then also verse 10. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This we know, this we believe. Can we also believe what the scripture says in verse 10? "And ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Also this statement Brother Branham made, is it a title of a sermon or just a sentence within a sermon? "Possessing all things," and that what is rightfully ours, we can claim because it's ours. It was given to us by God. We can make legitimate demands. Here we are told, "And ye possess all the fullness in him." Which fullness? The same fullness, the fullness of the Godhead. Perhaps I quote Brother Branham too often, but Brother Branham said, "The believer is equipped with creative abilities. He has the right to speak out certain things in the name of the Lord, and they happen. We are hesitant. I also. I just ask myself, why and for how long? For how long do we want to dishonor God through unbelief? Let us, by faith and in trust, take God at His word, saying yes to that what He said in His word. If in one verse it is written that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, and we see that it was manifested in Him, and it is written in the second verse, and ye possess, not that you pray, that you receive it, fasting, castigating oneself, and ye possess all the fullness in Him. Did not John the Baptist already say, out of His fullness we received grace for grace? Of our Lord it says, He said, I am come that ye might have life, and that you have it more abundantly. More abundantly means more than we need, namely to pass it on. And this was given to the church, but we are not aware of it. Beloved, if I sometimes here and there get something to hear, some time ago it was a cassette, there somebody spoke somewhere, missing the mark left and right, but the enthusiasm of the audience was so enormous. They were praising God for vanities, for that what was neither food nor drink. And then I sometimes ask myself, what must happen with us before a well of water breaks forth in us that springs up into everlasting life? Before thankfulness ascends to the throne of God for the privilege that was given us in this time by His grace. Let us say yes to the word of God with all our heart. You possess all the fullness in Him who is the head of all principality and power. If we read here principality and power, then look it up in Philippians, in Colossians. He spoiled, disarmed principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. The Lord is the head of the church. We don't depend on us. You don't depend on me. And I don't depend on you. We all depend on the Lord, who is the head, from whom the power goes forth. The planning, everything originates from the head. And He wants to penetrate the whole body. He wants to fill us with His life, with His power. If we, in these days, believe and open ourselves, and not asking and begging as if Calvary is still before us, but thanking according to the scripture, how should God not give us everything with Him? He who made us who were poor rich through His poverty. We don't belong to them who say we are rich and have need of nothing. We belong to them who say, Lord, nothing I have to bring you. You are everything, Lord, as the song goes. You have the fullness, and out of this fullness, also today, we want to receive grace for grace. Jesus, our Lord, was born into this world to bear witness of the truth. And he says here, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. One doesn't necessarily need to go to John 10, where the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. But it's really interesting to witness this in the natural life. I notice it here with me in the yard. The sheep, when it's dark, there can be noises around. They are quiet. No matter who walks by, everything is quiet. But in the moment, when they hear my voice, then they are here. Then I also hear them. Then I hear them straight away. I can pass by dozens of times. I hear nothing. They are all quiet. But in the moment, when they hear my voice, they are here. Then they respond. If we are born of God and recognized that the Lamb of God has shed the holy blood to make us sheep of his pasture, then we will hear his voice. Then we will respond. Then we cannot stay silent at all. What will happen in these days? The Lord will speak with us. If you ask me, we will have days that we didn't have until now. And may it be connected with it that God opens the heaven. Yes, it is open. There are really many who pray, Lord, open the heavens. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, when it speaks of Nathanael, from now on you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending. What was it? Heaven is no more made of ore. It is not closed. Heaven is open. The throne of God is reachable. We can enter the Holy of Holies to worship God under the shed blood of the Lamb. And I think this we are doing in these days. We become aware of that we will not be something with God with that what we bring with us, but that we were saved by grace. And a man to whom the prison doors opened, he will be happy and will be grateful. This is what we want to do in these days, thanking the Lord for that what he has done. He has given light and clarity, illumination by grace he has given. Tell me, what else should the Lord do? What else shall he do before we get carried away? Before we get besides ourselves? Before the fountain breaks forth in us and that we can thank him? I have said it here recently, some days ago, 2-3 days ago, in the afternoon, when I sat in the office and I read in the Holy Scripture, I couldn't follow up anymore what the Spirit showed me. It was such a diversity. I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't cope anymore to open up the Scriptures because so many things became great to me. Pardon me. But such a joy came over me. I, as a German, as a Prussian, being inhibited by nature, I started to clap my hands and I couldn't stop anymore. It just went on. It went on. I couldn't stop. That's how it got hold of me, inwardly. And I jumped up and lifted up my hands and walked up and down in the room, thanking God. And I just thought, Lord, if I just could pass it on, so fresh, so alive, if I could pass it on in such a way, what would happen among the audience? We want to be open in these days. Everything in divine order, but thankfulness shall fill our hearts. Praise and worship coming over our lips. And it is written, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we were filled with that what God has given us, be it grace, illumination, whatever it is, if we have been filled with it, if it became precious to us, should there not be praise and worship in our hearts? True worship that ascends to the throne of God. Let us summarize. The whole body shall be light, and the light that was given shall not be darkened. Quite the contrary, it shall be kept, it shall become brighter until the daylight dawns. We are here to hear the truth. That's why we are born again. Just like the Lord was born and came into this world to bear witness of the truth. He did it. We receive his word and thank him for it. Pilate said at that time, what is truth? And the answer is very simple. God's word is the truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. If I ever have believed that we will experience a biblical sanctification, then it is now. Not in your and in my way, but in God's way. And we will still come to it. For also believers are tormented by the enemy. They struggle and make a long face and think they reach sanctification by it. In the Word, also this point was shown to us very clearly. God made everything available for us. We just have to identify ourselves with the Word. Must be able to say yes on the inside to that what he has said. And I am convinced that he will help us, helping us, that what we receive from him, that we can live it out, passing it on, that it's not empty words, but the real power of God that can be manifested. According to the scripture, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. How many want that God confirms his word, that he with his Spirit comes upon the church, and his Spirit is God's power? For the Lord said, abide in Jerusalem until ye are endued with a power from on high. And the Spirit was the power from on high. The Spirit of God was the power of God. And this we expect in these days. I expect it, that the Spirit of God comes upon all of us in such a mighty way as never before. Even if some Bible observations, earthly speaking, are a bit dry, one thing I guarantee you, if we hear and believe God's word with all our heart, then after the observation, the Spirit will come upon the word and make it alive. And we all are refreshed in the presence of God. Such meetings shall be times of refreshing in the presence of God. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faithful Lord, together we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the days which are ahead of us. We thank you that all despondency, all downheartedness, all sadness, every pain, every bondage, every obstacle, that you clean up with everything, and that you make yourself a breach, preparing a way so that the glory of God can be manifested. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that this divine reality in us will be manifested. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to you, O Lord. Praise be to you, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoever has not done it yet, start tonight. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I glorify your name. Say hallelujah. Praise God. Faithful Lord, be above us, among us, with us. Confirm thy word, faithful God, in a mighty way. Save, heal, deliver. My God, may in the church of the living God every word become true, every promise being found a reality. Hallelujah. Lord, it is written, where your people are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Lord, let it be manifested. The written word, the written promise, let it be manifested as the truth. And go today through our rows. Faithful Lord, we thank you for it. And we praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Give clarity, illumination, touch our hearts. Hallelujah. Lord, manifest in these days the reality of the victory of Calvary, the redemption, the forgiveness, the reconciliation, the full salvation, the full gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, if we line up with you, then you are with us. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you. My God. My God. Oh, that we could put off the everyday life. My God. My God. Hallelujah. Lord, Almighty God, Thou King of the nations, Thou Head of the Church, Lord, we thank You, we praise You, we worship You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have taken the book, You broke the seals, You revealed the content. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, let us sing, Oh, it is Jesus, Oh, it is Jesus. How many believe that His blood washed us clean? We raise our hands and sing it once again. There is power in the blood.
Ganz allein.